Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, we recognize and appreciate that your word is awesome. It is you speaking to us, Lord. Beautiful, so wonderful, so important. And Lord, help us not to just take it for granted and say, oh, I've had a Bible around for years, but oh, I know it pretty well, and Lord, we aren't in it every day. We need to be hearing from you every day because we cannot get through a day without you. Can't get through an hour without you. Can't get through a minute without you, really. So guide us now as we look at your word again and look at a beautiful prayer in your word, one of many. We see your victory over the enemy because of a nation led by a king that loved you and he feared you and he prayed to you and you delivered them from great overwhelming odds once again. Lord, help us to learn from that. Lord, help us to understand as we try to fight our own battles with our own strength that we can't beat anything or anybody in our own strength, but that having you go before us, there's nothing that can stand in your sight, Lord, against you. So help us now, in Jesus' name, amen. I thought we would sing an old hymn. We haven't sung this one, I don't think, here in this group. Guide me, thou, O great Jehovah. And when we get to verse 2, we're talking about be my strength and shield, and that will certainly fit today's study. And then the last verse, song of praises, I will ever give to thee, I will ever give to thee. We will see one of the instructions today for Israel in their battle is to sing and to praise the Lord. May we take that home with us because I just generally believe believers do not spend enough time singing and praising the Lord. So let us sing, guide me now, O great Jehovah. The words are at the top of the page, first page of your notes. Last time we were in 2 Chronicles and we had the reforms of Asa and we had Asa relying on the Lord and we had Asa not finishing very well. He was a great king, but he didn't finish well because he turned kind of from the Lord at the end. And we commented how common that was. We move forward now to Jehoshaphat, and in chapter 18, Jehoshaphat, who was a great king, he did so many things right, but he had one weakness. He couldn't say no to the wicked, or whatever the reason, I don't know. Anyway, he aligned himself with the wicked family of Israel, of Ahab and Jezebel. And as he is strengthening the kingdom and things are going well, for whatever reason, he goes up north to, or down north to, Ahab. And Ahab says, I want to make war against Ramoth-Gilead. And would you come with me? And so he says, yeah, we're one people, we're one brother, so to speak, so I'll go with you. And it is really amazing because we see all of the 400 prophets of Ahab all tell him, go for it, the Lord's delivered it into your hand. And there's, and Jehoshaphat knows these are just not sound quite right. So he says, isn't there one prophet of God that you can call on? He says, well, there's one guy, Micaiah, but I don't like him. He always says bad things against me. But we'll bring him in. And so on the way in, they told him, say good things about the king because you always say bad things. And so he came in a mocking way, apparently. And he says, go for it. The Lord will deliver the victory into your hands. And then King Ahab said, tell me the truth. You're lying. So it must have been something there, he said. And so Micaiah said, the Lord has told me that you will not survive the battle. And so all the other prophets got mad. But we see then that he said, the children of Israel, northern tribes, will be without a leader. And so Ahab goes anyway. But this is amazing verse to me. We read here in verse 29 of chapter 18. And Ahab, the king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Now how can you be, he was either naive, he was stupid, or he had such faith that God was going to deliver him, it doesn't matter what he wore. But I mean, here's this conniving Ahab, he wants to be invisible because he knows the enemy only wants the king. They don't want all the other guys. And so what the Syrians said, just go after the king. We don't want the other guys, we just want the king. So of course they came after Jehoshaphat because he's got his robes on. They didn't know who he was. But it says now that Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. But a man at random shoots an arrow into the air, and it comes down either through the joint here or in the neck, one of the two, and strikes Ahab, and he dies. So you may try to disguise yourself. You may try to hide from the Lord. You may try to put all these other targets out in front of you so they get killed and you survive. But if it's the Lord's will, it's not going to work. And he comes back now, and it says that he returned to Jerusalem in peace in one translation. I think that means he's in safety in another translation. I think he's glad he came back in one piece. I'm not sure it's peace of mind. But the Lord returned him, and then the prophet meets him, and this is really good for you and I think to remember. We need the Jehus in our life. Jehu, the son of Hanani. Now, Hanani was the prophet, remember, who came against this guy's father, Asa. And Asa got mad and threw him in prison. But now, the son here, Jehoshaphat, receives the prophecy a little better than his dad. So Jehu, the son of Hanani, came to the seer. The seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Obviously, the message there is, if we align ourselves with the wicked are going to be punished. And so we're going to be included in that punishment to some degree. You don't want to align yourself with the wicked. We're not talking about people who are of different opinions. We want to love all sinners. But those who are, it's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of character. They hate God and they don't want any part of God. Stay away from them. Pray for them, but don't get aligned with them. But Jehoshaphat had done that with Ahab, and so he gets called to task. Now, he responds by focusing. It says he dwelt in Jerusalem. He stopped running around and going up north and so forth. And he sets up these various judges throughout the southern tribes there and telling them to act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, and no taking of bribes. Oh, how I wish our judges knew that, or at least practiced that, believed that. So he sets up these great judges throughout, and that really helped the nation. But we will see before it's all done, the nation still hasn't turned. And I believe a nation's moral level is not based on the leaders as much as it's just based on where the people are and what they want to do. Because we'll see here, that Jehoshaphat does some great things, and then we'll read these tragic words a little lower, later, but the nation did not turn to the Lord. So we need, the bad leaders take us down in a hurry. I was thinking of that in a sense this morning. Natural means can pull you down. Only supernatural means can lift you up, right? And so when, no matter how far down we get, supernaturally God can lift us up. But we can't lift ourselves up, but we can pull ourselves down. In other words, we can sin, but we can't forgive our own sins, right? He has to do that. So now we have, a little time goes by, and then the word comes to Jehoshaphat that there are three tribes or three armies joining together, Ammon, Moab, and Seir, or the Edomites, and they're coming to attack, and they're already at En Gedi, which is only just down the hill from Jerusalem. It's not that far from Jerusalem. They told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude from the sea, from Syria, are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. Now what does Jehoshaphat do? Another good lesson for us, what we need to do when we have a big problem hit us. We go over this almost every week, but we're just going through the Bible, and the Lord knows we need to be reminded, right? Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities that came to seek the Lord. So we see Jehoshaphat's response is fear. What do you think he's fearing? Well, I think he's certainly fearing the battle, overwhelming odds. But I think he's also he's a godly king. I think he's fearing the Lord as well. And I think we need to think about that. We think about, oh, I'm so afraid of what's out there. Oh, look at that. We also ought to be fearing the Lord too, because he is our deliverer, right? Jehoshaphat does exactly the right things, and now he stands in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, and he has this beautiful prayer. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? You know, good prayers have to include the address properly, and in those days every nation had their own God, but here he's saying there's only one God of all nations, and that is you, Lord God. Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they that dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Anytime you're in problems, or anytime period, but anytime in problems, go to the Word of God and find a promise that God has made relative to where you are, and claim that promise. Every strong prayer in the Bible will stand on a promise of God. God, you promised. Jacob, you know, sneaky Jacob. At every one of his prayers, look at him. He's always standing on a promise that God has made to him. And that's very powerful. So he says, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let in Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us. He's standing on that promise. O Lord our God, will you not judge them? This I like. For we have no power. We have no power, right? We are, without you, Lord, we have no power. We have no power against them, this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. How often I think, oh, I know what to do in trouble. I don't know what to do. No one knows what to do on their own. He says, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Isn't that great? Another great prayer. 2 Chronicles 20. Make note of it. Read it. Meditate on it. Use it in times of need. And that's pretty much every day, right? Our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He gives his whole genealogy there. It's all priests. But here is, in the midst of this great multitude, is this one guy. And when he speaks up, he must have had really the Holy Spirit's power, because he's speaking to this whole multitude, one guy. But he is saying, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Beautiful. So here's what you do. This is a very interesting military maneuver. You'd never find this in a military history book, I don't think, because they couldn't believe it. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. That's the way up from En-Gedi to Jerusalem. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Have you heard that before? What did Moses cry out? Crossing the Red Sea crossing, exactly that. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Now here's this army coming up, and they're now probably can see pretty soon the army of Judah here, and here they don't have their guns pointed or arrows or whatever they shot them, but they're singing praises to the Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing? But that's what happened. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Now that's a victory, isn't it? Now notice else what happened here. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. You know, we just had that before with Hezekiah, didn't we? We had this great Anasa. We had this great problem, and the Lord solves the problem and then enriches the nation dramatically because of it, right? And I think we can think of that as well. When you have a big problem in your life, God has it for a reason. And if you will turn it to him and let him do his work in it, he will not only take care of the problem, but he will enrich you from it. Maybe not in terms of jewelry and all that stuff, but something much more important than that, because he will reward you as you become more Christ-like by living more Christ-like, right? And isn't that the object of our lives, really? Well, Father, we thank you for the clear lesson in today's study once again, and your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for prayer, and now we have time to pray. For whatever you put on our hearts, may we be in one accord by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Lord, you are the Lord. Father, you are holy, and we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your kindness. Bless each one now as we go our separate ways, and Lord, you will have each of us in a place today where no one else is. Help us to be that salt and that light and draw people to you. And Lord, just thinking of second chapter of 1 Timothy, there we're to pray for kings and those in authority. And Lord, just a few of these names at the bottom of the prayer list for Donald Trump, for Xi Jinping, China, for Narendra Modi, India, Vladimir Putin in Russia, Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, Angela Merkel in Germany, Theresa May in the UK, and Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and there's another over 200 more nations but just these names that are often talked about. We just pray for them that they would know you, that they would have you as their Lord and Savior. They would see their desperate need for you, and they would all know that they are accountable to you, Lord, that they would have the fear of you in their eyes, and they would cry out even as Jehoshaphat did, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but help me, help me, help me. Our hope, our only hope is in you. So we ask these things, and we also pray for the church at large. We pray for the church here. And Lord, we pray your word will go out in this next 24, 48 hours around the world and accomplish what it will with it. And we pray for great fruitfulness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.